Last week, I believe it was, we had a little message on voices and knowing the voice of the Lord. And we spoke about how wonderful it is to have a voice that we can communicate with others, and we're not silent in our voice. We started out with that thought. And this morning, I want to speak to you about the mind. The mind is a wonderful thing. To be able to think with our mind, we take it for granted so much. We don't even think about it hardly unless we're with someone that their mind is affected where they cannot communicate. And then maybe we stop for a moment and we think, Lord, I'm so thankful for my mind. Do you ever thank the Lord for those things that we take for granted every day? Do you, in your prayers, do you say, Lord, thank you for life and breath? We breathe in and out and don't even think about it every day. And it would take only one breath and you and I would not be alive. And we have our eyes that we can see. What a blessing. We don't think about it until we're with somebody that is blind. And we're so thankful that we can hear. And we don't think about it until we're with someone who can't. And we think about a nose. Are you glad that you can smell this morning? Because if you couldn't, you couldn't taste. You wouldn't be able to taste your food. And so, do you think about your blessings this morning? I often even thank the Lord that I'm able to walk. I'm able to use my hands. And so we need to think about what God has done for us every day. It would only take one car accident or even just hitting your head in a certain way, falling, and all of those things could be altered in your life. So I want to talk to you this morning about our precious mind. There are times that you and I can pass through events of our life and it will affect our mind. You understand that? Probably everyone here has experienced things where they felt like, I hardly have a mind. And yet the Lord says, lean on me. I will give you a mind. Well, the scripture says a lot about a mind. The mind is the part that you and I use to process thoughts. But it's more than just processing thoughts. Your mind has to do with your salvation. Because your mind is that process, if you will, of being able to reason, being able to understand. I want to give you just a little bit of information that I discovered. I don't know that I've ever really studied it out. But the Old Testament was written in the Hebrew language. Did you know that there are no words in the Hebrew language that is for the word mind? And yet in the Old Testament, there are words that are used to convey what the mind is. The mind of God, the mind of man. And the words that are used in the Old Testament that translate as mind is heart. It's also soul and spirit. I never thought of that before. I've read scripture, you've read scripture, and about the heart, my heart. We will even say, the Lord, remember when we spoke about the voice of the Lord? We would say, the Lord spoke to my heart. Because that's how it's conveyed in the Old Testament. But what he's doing, he's speaking to our mind, our understanding. And there are other words that are used as an interpretation for conveying the thoughts of the mind. And it's the intentions that relates to our mind, our intentions. And another one is memory, or to remember. Memory is a wonderful thing too. Memory can be a blessing, but it can sometimes be a curse. Recall. I am able to recall things. And when I thought of that word, or when I think of that word, I think about the Holy Spirit. Because he said in the New Testament, Jesus said that when the Comforter would come, or the Holy Spirit, he would cause you and me to recall. Maybe it doesn't say those words, but that's what it means. Bring back to your memory or your mind. And so have you ever had to say, Lord, bring that back to my mind? Our minds are so full today. And it's not just the old, where you can have a thought and the next minute it's gone. I have had young people do the same thing. So it's the time that we're living in. It's the very, how shall I say it, the very air of our society is peopled with so many thoughts. So much is passing through our minds that our minds are sometimes overloaded. You ever felt overloaded in your mind? Well, that's the time we're living in. And maybe other ages, other generations felt that way. But I can tell you that it's really that way today. And that even young people have the same problem of losing a thought like that. But what we do, we say, Lord, bring it back to my mind. I've had the Lord do that many times. So in the pressures of life and in the fullness of my mind when a thought is left, there is one that can help you have recall. Thank the Lord. And that's one of the words that has to do for the mind in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the New Testament was written in the Greek language. So it has different words for translation. Now, I never fully understood all that till this was opened up to me. But here's the words in the New Testament or under the Greek that has to do with our mind. And it's expressed with words of understanding. It has words that has to do with reason. Now, when I thought of the word reason, I thought of a scripture in the Old Testament. Because the word of the Lord says, come and let us reason together, saith the Lord. The rest of that verse is very important also. It says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. But I believe that we serve a God that is able to reason with our minds. Amen. Is able to speak to our heart. Is able to grant unto our mind and our heart understanding. Is able to open up things to us that book learning can't do. The word of the Lord and the spirit of the Lord, which always agree, those things can open it up to our mind. Other words that are used is judgment. That has to do with the mind. Mind, understanding, the judgment of God or the judgment of a right and wrong. There is another word that is expressed in the Greek language that has to do with the mind, and it is imagination. What do you think of when I say that word? One scripture says in the old that the imaginations of their hearts were what? Evil continually. So that tells me their mind had something to do with thinking of the evil. That was before Noah built the ark. And God chose to destroy all of the earth. But there's another scripture in the New Testament that says this: casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of Christ. So you've got the word imagination in the old, you've got it in the new, and have you ever battled with imaginations? It's in the mind. It's where we're thinking. It's where the enemy of our soul will try to affect me in my mind with imaginations. Imaginations are not always real. They can be real. They can prove to be true, whatever the imagination is. But imaginations has a tendency to do what? Torment. It torments the mind. And if the enemy is able, and I spoke of this Wednesday night, I believe it was, if the devil is able, and these were words that were spoken to me by someone else, but it got my attention. If the devil is able to have a portion of your mind, it decreases the effectiveness of your walk with the Lord, or to even know the mind of the Lord, 60%, the person said. That's a high percent. And that's when the devil only has a portion of my mind. So I see a great danger here of imaginations. The devil uses imaginations to affect us in our minds. Another two more words that has to do with the Greek language that has to do with our mind is our will. Your will is a part of your mind. It is not that you have that you determine in your mind, I'm going to do this by the strength of my mind. It is not that. We're going to find out about, well, I'll just say it. The scripture says, if ye first have a what? A willing mind. When it comes to living for the Lord, you're not going to be able to just dig your heels in and grit your teeth and say, I'm going to be a saint. You will fail. Amen. You've got to first have a mind that is willing toward God, toward the things of God, toward what he offers to man to be saved. You have to take that route. You have to humble yourself. You have to yield yourself to those things in your mind. You have to first have it in your mind. I spoke of an instance with someone else this week about having a head knowledge. Having a head knowledge only is not sufficient, but it's the beginning. You have to have something, some kind of knowledge, some kind of understanding in your mind in order to even pursue anything of God. You have to first have some kind of understanding or hearing. The word says this. It speaks about us. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, that's the process. I get it in my mind, and then what are you going to do with your mind or with what you learn? See, that's what counts. So you first have to have a willing mind. The other word in the New Testament under the Greek language that had to do with the mind was affections. That which you love. The scripture says, speaks about our heart. And remember, in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew language, the heart took the word of mind. And it speaks about where your heart is, there, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So the heart and the affections for the treasure is all linked together, and it's all part of the mind. So that's just a little introduction to our thought this morning. And I want to say that I am needing the Lord to give me a mind to be able to minister the word of God. I want to acknowledge again that my sufficiency is not of myself, but my sufficiency is of God, who hath made me. We lean on the Lord and the Lord alone. I'm thinking about a billboard that I saw many years ago. I cannot remember having seen this billboard in the last few years. Maybe you are here and have seen this billboard before too. But it had words on it, just words, if I remember correctly. And it said this: the mind is a terrible thing to waste. Do you remember that billboard? Have you seen it of late? I haven't seen it in a long time. But it came back to me this morning, what that really means. The mind is a terrible thing to waste. Well, I know what that message meant. That was a message. As you and I were driving down the road, possibly filling our minds with all other things, we might be filling our minds with the troubles of our life. We could be filling our minds with the worries, maybe wondering about tomorrow, or even what I'm going to do in the next hour. I've got my mind so full on all of that. It's not profitable. It's of life right now. I'm just putting some thoughts here. It had to do with getting your attention to do something profitable with your mind. Now, the message behind it was education. You can educate your mind. You can train your mind. You can develop your mind. The indication is you will be happy. I took it that way, because it's a terrible thing to waste your mind. But in our society today, we find that many people have their minds full of ungodly things, immoral things, things that pollute the mind, that govern their lives, that influence their actions, that many times those things might come out and become an open thing, and they never intended for anyone to know what was in their mind. In saying that, the scripture tells us that God knows our mind. Does he?
That's right.
Does God know your intentions?
That's right.
Does he judge you by your intentions? Maybe when you've uttered words that you did not intend for them to sound that way, and God knew it. Is God a just God? There's a scripture that says, will not the judge of all the earth do right? He will. He will do right by the guilty, and he'll do right by the innocent. So, when you and I have our minds filled with things that are ungodly, it will come out. Many times we may be even ashamed that we had the thought and then it came out of our mouth. I want to focus a little bit on this word waste. It's a terrible thing to waste. Wasting is a terrible thing just of anything. There was a society, not a society, a generation rather, that passed through the Depression. Our parents were of that generation. That generation did not waste anything. Everything became valuable. A thread was saved. I cleaned out my sewing closet recently. There were many threads and strings, if you will, on the floor. And I just sucked them right up into the vacuum cleaner. I never one time thought of getting a sack or a box and dropping one of those threads in there that I might need. But there was a generation that was very careful about wasting anything. Food was never wasted. It was put in soup. It was made of some use. Everything was looked at as being valuable. Wasting today is all about us. We have piles of trash just to the north of here that have literally become mountains because people waste things that could be used. You and I have benefited from people's waste, haven't we?
Yes.
We go to the garage sales and we find some valuable things at a fraction of the cost. And that is a blessing. But waste, I want to give you some definitions because it's more than temporal things. It's more than earthly things that we can waste our time, our mind, our understanding. We can waste it. A definition is to use up without recovery. To use it up and I can't get it back. Did you know time is one of those things? When time is gone, that's it. I cannot go back 1 minute. I cannot retrieve 10 seconds. It's gone. Whatever opportunity that I had in that last 10 seconds, if I did not avail myself of that opportunity, it's over. So that's what waste is all about. I can waste the valuable opportunities, but I cannot retrieve them. I can only have the opportunities of the moment to avail myself of them. The next definition is to fail to take advantage of an opportunity, to just, I don't even see it. Did you know there are opportunities that come to you and me that we never recognize?
That's right.
Every day?
Yeah.
Did you know we spoke about the voice of the Lord last week? We spoke about the voice of the Lord being a very quiet voice, a still, small voice, and that you and I can miss that voice. We can miss what it's trying to say to us. I want to say something. I've observed this, not only in my own experience, but I've observed it in other people. We fill the very hearing of our ears with other sounds, and it's very hard for the voice of the Lord to penetrate those sounds. I'll give you an example. As you're riding in the car, you can be listening to the radio and it be legitimate, not sinful things at all. But what are the sounds doing in your mind? They're entering your mind, aren't they? You could be listening to the news. That's what's going into your mind. Well, when we fill the sounds of our ears with all of the other noises, if you will, of earth. Oh, I'm not saying you have to have it totally silent all the time, but it's good. It's good to sometimes just get in your car and just turn it off. Amen. And have quiet. Because it's going to be in those times that you could miss the still, small voice of the Lord.
Yes, 'tis true.
Now, I'm going to give you another little thought on that. There have been people who have testified to this. I've read these testimonies, even of people I didn't even know, who said that they would be driving down the highway and a voice would say, "Stop," or "turn," or "do this," or "do that." And had they not obeyed the voice, they would have been killed. Have you ever heard testimonies like that? But if my mind is so full of all of this other, what if I would miss that voice? That would be me failing the opportunity, see? That's a waste. Another definition for waste is neglect. When I say the word neglect, do you think of a scripture? Do you understand how important it is I not waste something about my spiritual life? What is a word? What is a scripture that comes to your mind on neglect? You cannot neglect this great salvation. It will waste away. It will not be there for you to retrieve. You must not neglect your soul. Amen. You must not neglect, we say, well, the scripture says, we say neglect. The scripture says you must not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And it says especially for today, because there's the coming of the Lord is soon. Now that's in my words, but that's scripture. But we can say it this way. Don't neglect the assembling of yourselves together. And it says as some men are. Because there's something going to happen. When I lay aside the busyness of my life and I take the time and not waste my time on other things of life on Sunday morning, and I say I am going to not forsake or neglect, I'm going to go and worship the Lord. That's not wasteful. Some people may look on this as wasted time because they have so much other things they want to do. So many places to go. So many things to do. Many years ago, I will never forget this. It's still a picture in my mind. We're on our way to the services down I-35, and we pass a golf course. And there's a number out there playing golf on Sunday morning. For the Christian, that looks wasteful, and it is. But maybe for those that didn't have time through the week, working on their jobs, maybe they said, oh, this isn't wasted time. You're wasting your time. Let us not neglect our souls. Eternity is looming in sight.
Yes, amen.
Eternity is nearly at the door. And you and I will have, it will be gone. The opportunity will be gone when the last great day and the trumpet sounds.
Yes.
There will not be time to pray. I will have wasted all of those opportunities. I cannot call them back then. The last definition for it surprised me. It says, be prodigal. Have you ever heard of that as a definition for waste? To be prodigal. Now I know where your mind is going. So I looked up the word prodigal all by itself. And you know what it said? It said wasteful expenditure. It even said it was addictive. Addictive, wasteful expenditure of money, time, or strength. How many times have we given our strength to something that is of no value? That takes the Holy Spirit to give us discernment of that. So when I understood what this word prodigal meant, and I connected it with the prodigal son, I always thought that word prodigal seemed to mean the coming back. But it was a word that was trying to tell us of a person that wasted everything. There are people that have chosen to go out, take their inheritance, so to speak, as the prodigal son. They've been willing to go out and waste it all and live in the gutter, so to speak, have nothing to show for it, and never come back. But this prodigal son had a father that did not give up on him.
Yes.
This father, the scripture indicates, was looking for him. Now, whoever we are today, wherever we are, with our relationship with God, our Father is still looking toward us, and he doesn't want you and me to be wasteful. Even if we're saved, he doesn't want us to find places to waste because time is short. Because time is running out. Jesus said when he was 12 years old and he was left in the temple, and his parents came back and said, why did you do this? We've searched for you for 3 days. And his answer was this: I must be about my Father's business. Now, to those that are ready to go, let us not waste our time. Let us not waste our energy. Let us still be about our Father's business.
Yes.
But for those that might not be ready, the prodigal came to himself. The one that had wasted everything, had nothing left to show. We picture him in rags. Why do I see him in rags? Because when he came back and he said to the Father, Father, I have sinned against you. You don't have to make me your son anymore. I'll be just a servant. He was willing to even keep his rags. Just let me eat at the servant's table. But the Father said, no, you're going to be a son. And you're going to have the best clothes. Take away the rags. Take away that sign of waste of your life. You can be recovered. That's the only place that you and I can find recovery when we've wasted it all. We can either stay in the gutter or we can come out of it. We can come to ourselves. We can say, Father, I've sinned. Make me a servant.
Yes.
But he won't do that. He'll say, you're going to be my son. Put shoes on his feet. Kill the fatted calf. My son that was dead, he is alive. What does the scripture say now? It says that the angels of heaven rejoice more over one than over the 99. The shepherd, when he had 100 sheep, and he was perfectly satisfied, and only one of those sheep got lost. The scripture says that he left the 99 and he went and hunted for the one. Oh, God is still calling out to all of us today.
Yes.
Let us rejoice over those that come back. The mind. We must not waste or use up where we cannot be recovered. We must not neglect it. When I think of neglect, a major neglect is when I spend more time with earthly things than I do in knowing how God looks on me. And the way that the Lord says that is, says, you study my word. Study to make sure that you're approved unto God. That statement isn't to put us under a bondage. God knows that you and I have a life that we have to take care of. The devil would come along and use that kind of a statement and say, well, you've got to sit and read and pray 24 hours a day. That's not balanced. That's not even our God. But he's crying out for you and me to feed on his word and not neglect our soul. Our soul is a living thing, and it has to be kept alive. And it's kept alive through the word and through the spirit. See? So don't neglect your soul. And if you have wasted, if you look over your life, if you and I, even looking back over the last week, we might see some places where we've wasted our time. The Holy Spirit is able to communicate that to us. He is faithful to your soul and to my soul. If we will but get quiet and listen to that still small voice, he'll be faithful. He will show you. He will speak to you. He will teach you. He will guide you. He will lead you. The scripture, the song says, he will guide you with his eye. Thank the Lord. So the mind is a terrible thing to waste. I have a number of scriptures, but I feel like the Lord has taken this a little differently. I want to close with two scriptures. One is in 1 Samuel 12 and 24. And a portion of that, to get your attention, I want just a portion of that scripture. It says, fear the Lord and consider. What does that word consider mean? Think. Think with your mind now. This is what you're to consider. How great things he hath done for you. It will pay you and me to think about all that the Lord has done for us down through our life. This week, I was down praying, and as I told you on Wednesday night, I'm praying more for myself than I have ever prayed before. And while I was in prayer, the Lord recall brought back to my mind how he's led me these past many years since I've been in the ministry. He brought to my mind the hard places, but he brought to my mind the victories. He brought to my mind the lessons that he has taught me, that I could not have learned them any other way. And in tears, I began to thank the Lord. You need to remember how the Lord has led you. You need to remember the victories you've had. You need to remember the lessons you've learned. Don't lose the essence of the lessons. You'll repeat the mistake. The last scripture I have, Psalms 119 and 59. It said, I thought on my ways. What do you get out of that? I want to say this. Lauren and I listened to a message this last week, one night, online. Brother Isaac Chandler preached a message on, I remember this day my fault. It will pay you and me to always think of our ways, to get our minds off of everybody else's faults. It's so easy to see everyone else's faults and miss your own. So easy. It is part of our humanity. Amen. And the devil wants to take advantage of it. And just as someone said not long ago in my hearing, they said, I can't see myself, but you can. And you can't see yourself, but I can. I have to see myself in a mirror. If I am to know what I look like physically, I've got to go before a mirror because my eyes are here in my head. And it's the same if I don't think about my ways. Oh, I want to tell you all, I want to encourage you all, pray more for yourself than you've ever prayed before. There is a trap and a snare of the enemy just waiting for you to step into it. Just waiting. So I want to encourage you all to pray more for yourself. Think on your ways. I've said this here in some of my testimonies of late. Scripture scripture that says, every man's way is right in his own eyes. And it's true. You and I have a tendency to justify ourselves and to not see ourselves like somebody else does. We need the Lord. We need the Lord to bring to our mind the lessons that He has taught us. But I need to think on my ways, and then the scripture says there in Psalms 119, and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I believe the Lord is a faithful God. I don't believe it. I know it. I know God is faithful to every soul.
That's right.
I know that God has been faithful to my soul. When I have made a misstep, He has spoken it plainly. One time, Lauren and I went to Enid. This has been a number of years ago, but I've never forgot it. It came back to my mind in prayer. I preached a message on one of the best subjects there is to preach on. Heaven. I felt like it was anointed. It was easy to preach. I loved it. As I went to my seat from the pulpit, the Lord spoke to me. He said, you took too much pleasure in that message. I want to tell you, this is how faithful God is. If we will hear His voice, He'll reveal what's in our hearts. The scripture says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? That sounds so negative. It sounds almost hopeless. But the hope is that if I will cry out to the Lord and submit myself to God, the Holy Spirit will be the searcher of my heart. And He won't let us miss it. He'll speak plainly. You took too much pleasure in that message. I repented. I want to tell you, God is faithful to deal with our souls.
Yes.
But you have to hear the voice. You have to know the voice of the Lord, and you have to hear it. And if your mind is being wasted, it's a terrible thing to waste our mind. But if our mind is being filled with all other things, the opportunity will pass and I'll not get it back. Unless He has mercy. I believe God's merciful. He says in one other place, I speak once, yea, twice. He doesn't just speak twice. It goes on and it says, I speak in a dream. I try to get your attention. I believe that God has done that in my life, and I believe He's doing it with everyone else. Thank the Lord. Let us pray for one another, but pray for yourself first. Open yourself up before the Lord. Say, Lord, search me. Try me. See if there's any wicked way in me. You know what that means? Way of pain. Pain to your own spiritual walk. Something that will hinder you in your relationship with God. Remember, if the devil has a portion of your mind, your effectiveness is reduced by 60%. Pray for me.